Second Chronicles 16, the message tonight is about the development in the kingdom of Israel with the passing of time. You know, this is perfectly scriptural. It says in Nehemiah that Ezra stood on a platform of wood. So I'm glad that you have conformed to the literal teaching of the Word of God. I'll seek to bring all of this together, but let me just read a little to you now. Think of what I said, the development in the kingdom of Israel with the passing of time. 16 verse 1. This is talking about Asa. Asa reigned 41 years, and it says, in his 36th year of the reign of Asa, and it tells what he did. Verse 7. At that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, hast not relied on the Lord thy God. Therefore, is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thy hand. Now, look at verse 10. And the prophet told him that. It says, then Asa was wroth with the seer, and put him in the prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa was diseased in his feet. His disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physician. And Asa slept with his fathers. Now, turn back to chapter 10. Chapter 10. The people, after the death of Solomon, have approached Rehoboam and told him to lessen the burden that Solomon has placed upon them, treat them in a way that will cause his reign to be acceptable. He said, give me 3 days. He consulted with old men and young men and decided to follow the counsel of the young men. And the harshness and severity with which he answered them caused this reaction. Verse 16. And when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to your tent, O Israel. Now see to thine own house, David. So all Israel departed unto their tents. Look at verse 12. And in every city, Rehoboam put shields and spears and made them exceeding strong. And Judah and Benjamin belonged to him. And the priests and the Levites that were in all Israel resorted to him out of all their border. For the Levites left their suburbs and their possessions and came to Judah and Jerusalem. Verse 16. And after them, out of all the tribes of Israel, such as set their hearts to seek the Lord, the God of Israel, came to Jerusalem. Sacrifice unto the Lord, the God of their fathers. Now turn back to 1 Samuel 3. 1 Samuel 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no widespread vision, no frequent vision. And I'll read you this for the sake of time. It says, now for a long season, Israel was without the true God and without the teaching priest and without law. But in their distress, they turned unto the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him. He was found out there. That's in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. It seems inevitable from the consideration of the king in the kingdom of Israel, that disease and departure and decline were inevitable. That deterioration in all of these areas was inevitable. And when that deterioration came, there followed disease and departure and decline. If you think for a little about Israel's history, first of all, they wanted a king, and God allowed them to have a king. And after 40 years of oppression, after a good start, Saul was set aside, and then David for 40 years, and then Solomon for 40 years. But what happened was this. With the passing of time, there was deterioration in all of these areas that I mentioned, and I will connect them to the portion I read to you as we go on. Then, when you get to the divided kingdom, with the passing of time, there was more deterioration, and it seems as if it is inevitable that deterioration will set in among the people of God for the passing time. And let me give you this assurance. It will set in, and it is inevitable, unless one thing is definitely done to prevent it. I did not take time to read these scriptures, but it said that Rehoboam and his transgressions occurred because he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. And it says the same thing again and again, that this decline, that this deterioration, that this departure, all of these things happened because they did not set their heart to seek the Lord. Now what do you think is this? That inasmuch as God is behind the start of a movement, then inevitably it must be good. It will get greater and stronger and nearer to conformity to the mind of God, but that is not what happens. Inevitably, it will get away from the mind of God. Saul, at the first, started out well, and then there was decline. In like manner, David started out well, and then there was decline. In like manner, the other kings in the divided kingdom, the ones who did start out well, at the end, there was decline. And it looks as if it must be inevitable, and I assure you that it is inevitable unless there is a holy determination and a setting of the heart to after the Lord. And I'm thinking now not only about Israel, but I'm thinking about us, whom God graciously brought into being in a special way about 1830, around then, and there was this development and growth, and things were so precious at that time, but with the passing of time, there was deterioration, and it has gotten more and more and more until we come to today. And the three areas of which I read you in Chronicles and in Kings and in Samuel, in these three areas, the same deterioration has set in among those who gather to the name of the Lord. Because you think that because we have a form of godliness, because we have the pattern of sound doctrine, then all is well. But the very temple that Solomon built had its architecture, its blueprint from God. And yet, with that temple, there was still the deterioration in the nation of Israel as time passed. And among the people of God, it is the same way. You say, I meet with those who gather to the name of the Lord alone. You will deteriorate if you do not set your heart to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the in these three areas, deterioration will set in. Now, I just read one. I gave a message on old age diseases last Lord's Day evening, and I thought of developing other things along that line, but instead what I've done is to see with the passing of time, there was disease, but now notice, in the first portion that I read you about Asa, who in his 39th year was diseased in his feet. Let me give you this encouragement. For 36 years, Asa served the Lord. But then in his 36th year, he turned not to the Lord, but he turned to the world for strength and support. And he had help, as far as we know, until his 39th year. But then, from his 39th to his 41st year, when he died, he was diseased in his feet. You see, with the passing of time, there was deterioration, and it ultimately resulted in disease. And I will tell you for others, what's the so arresting about it, when reading through the history of the kings of Israel, I discovered these diseases in their old age. It says three things about Solomon. It said that when he was a child, the Lord loved Solomon, named him Jedediah. It says that Solomon, in his youth, loved the Lord. But then in his old age, it said Solomon loved many foreign women. You see what happened? In his old age. And it says they turned his heart away from the Lord. So, this is the only spiritual portion I'm giving you, a man who is sick. Solomon had heart disease in his old age. But for others, you'll find that there were four in all. Solomon had heart disease because in following the request of his wives, they turned his heart from the Lord, and he made idols for them. Anything his wife wanted, yes, I will make this idol for you. I will cater to your needs. And these foreign women turned his heart away from the Lord. And so he had heart disease. But you come to Asa, and he was diseased in his feet. And then you get Rehoboam, Abijam, Asa, Jehoshaphat, Jehoram. You come to Jehoram, and he reigned for 8 years, and it says that for 2 years, because of his sins, he was diseased in his bowels. And when you finally come to Azariah, or Uzziah, he was diseased in his head. Now think of this. This is why I said I could spend the time in all of this. What is so remarkable is that Solomon, though he had no physical disease outwardly that is mentioned, yet his disease was the most serious of all of them, because he was a handsome man, an impressive person, but his heart was diseased, and he was inclined towards idols. He had heart disease. But you could not always see that, because on occasion, when the Queen of Sheba saw the way that he approached God and went to the temple, she was greatly impressed. And so you look at all of these things, how impressive he is. But God said, they turned his heart. And so God looked to the inside of the man, and he said, this man has heart disease. And that's a terrible thing. If I have some physical disease, some infirmity, you can look at me and say, yes. But if I have heart disease, and you happen to see me on the Sabbath day going into the temple, you say, a man of God, but in reality, I am a man with a serious heart disease. Now, it says that Asa had disease of the feet. Think of that. A disease within, and then a disease without, disease in the feet, and you get Jehoram. He was diseased in the bowels, and Azariah was diseased in the head. And I will just throw this out because it is written. When you have the burnt offering, you have three parts of the sacrifice. You have the head, you have the bowels or the inward part, and you have the feet, which are attached to the legs. And it says concerning these three parts that the inward part and the legs, the feet, connected, of course, you are washed with water, and the head you are placed upon the altar. And so you have head, feet, and bowels, inward parts, and all of those were to be placed upon the altar of God. They were to be washed with water, the inward parts, and the legs, and the feet. But instead, all of these kings failed, and Asa did not have his legs and feet washed with water. And at the same time, Jehoram did not have his inward parts washed with water. And Azariah did not have his head filled with leprosy placed on the altar. And think of this. It is not by chance that God locates these diseases in certain parts of the body and brings them out. Because what is so fascinating is that the word bowels, he was diseased in the bowels. You may read in Psalm 22 and Psalm 69 these very words used concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will find that his inward parts were pure and clean and holy. And this man Jehoram was so evil that his bowels were diseased by the Lord. Now, he was wicked for 6 years, but the last 2 years, he had this disease of the bowels, and it says that at the end of those 2 years, his bowels fell out. There was no improvement. Intense decline until death occurred. It was the same way with Asa, and it was the same way with Azariah. This is not sad. Now think, here is the head. Here is the one who rules. And yet this man is afflicted with leprosy. And so the leadership, because the head is not the intelligent, you get the heart. I search the heart in the range. The head is the symbol of authority. And here is authority that is contaminated by leprosy. Now think of ourselves today, those that are in high position. Think now, has anything concerning the head, the leaders, the ones that have great influence upon us, did you say that there was any leprosy in them? You say, yes. And not only so among others, do you think that there is any inward disease among God's leaders? You say, yes. And the feet, the walk, their behavior? You say, yes. And the same thing has happened to us spiritually that happened to them literally. But the difference is that we could say to Asa, if you had that bonus, you are diseased in the feet, and you are diseased in the bowels, Jehoram, and you are diseased in the head, Azariah. And the fact that God will not tolerate such things is that God said if any priest was to serve him and one of these things happened to him, he was excluded from the priesthood, because the physical infirmity was a picture of its spiritual counterpart. And yet all of these kings, now think of Azariah in his presumption and his pride coming in to burn incense. You see, here he is. He has leprosy of the head. And here is this one, Jehoram, filled with corruption on the inside. He has disease of the bowels. And think of Asa, who had walked after God for 36 years. And then he departed from God, and God said, well, I will disease you in the feet. And this is the marvelous way that God picks out these things. The rulers, and yet all of the rulers of Israel, disease within and without, from head to foot, disease, and therefore they were no longer fit to rule over Israel. And the fact is this, it was inevitable that this would happen because they did not set their heart to serve the Lord, to seek the Lord. Let me tell you about Rehoboam a moment. He served the Lord. He reigned for 41 years. It says for 3 years, all went well. But when he was strong, he departed from the Lord. And so this is what happened when we are cast upon God and we are poor and destitute, as the Savior said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. But when Saul became strong, that was his downfall. And so it was with Solomon, and so it was with these other rulers of Israel. But God says, I will deal with you in your pride. And so some of us have our besetting sin in the feet, in the bowels, in the head, in the heart. But I told you that as time passed on, there was this deterioration because the heart must be permanently set. There must be a constant waiting upon the Lord. It is not something that you can do once for all. I wish it could be done that way. We say it, Lord, I'm consecrating myself to you once for all. Well, that sounds fine. But you will discover, as in the case of our Savior, Satan tempted him for 40 days. And he says, when he attended all the temptations, he left him for a season. And this dedication that you give to God, you will find that Satan may leave you for a season, while the strength of it carries you on for a while, that you will see that he will return and he will destroy you unless your heart is permanently set to seek the Lord. And so deterioration is inevitable among God's people unless the heart is constantly set. And disease will set in old age and in your latter days. It doesn't matter how well you start out. I would think if a man were going to reign for 41 years, I would think that after 36 years, he would never fail. But he failed after 36 years. And in his last 2 years, he was vile. And as for Azariah, he had to separate himself from all people because he was a leper after so many years of serving God faithfully, enjoying the Lord. And this was the rebuke that God gave to Asa. Asa, when he had 580,000 men, and he went out against Zerah with over 1,000,000 men, he cried unto God, we have no power against this foe. And when he went out, God graciously answered the prayer, and with about half as many, he destroyed Zerah and his army. Was ruined, took his life, killed. And when that happens, then prophets start coming to Asa. And when one prophet comes, it says, Asa, listen to what he says. And then Oded speaks to him. He listens to him. And then Hanani tells him what he's done wrong. And he goes into a rage, and he persecutes the people, and he puts this prophet in jail. And that was Asa's downfall. But how, after 36 years of dependency upon God, in time of crisis, could a man appeal to someone of the world, the strength of man, for assistance? So he that thinketh he standeth, let him take heed lest he fall. For understand this, I've spoken about departure, not only disease, but also departure. And I say departure is inevitable unless you set your heart at peace to the Lord. I'm not going to set it up and take time to give all the explanations. But when Solomon sinned against God and followed these foreign gods because of the influence of his wives, God said, I'm determined to split the kingdom. He said, however, I'm not going to do it in your day. He said, I'm going to do it in your son's day. And that is what happened to Rehoboam. And what happened was this. When Rehoboam was given an opportunity to consolidate the kingdom, the people would love him and serve him if he would ease the burden of Solomon. It said the words that he spoke were of the Lord. This thing was of the Lord. He said, Solomon, you have done this. This is what is going to happen to your son. I wonder about that. You say, then it is inevitable. I want you to think for a moment. Because God said, I'm going to give you one tribe, Rehoboam, for the sake of David, the man after my heart. I'm going to give you one tribe. But when this happened, I read to you that not only did Judah follow Rehoboam, but Benjamin said, I am going to follow Rehoboam. And the Levites and the priests said, I'm going to follow Jeroboam. And it said others from all the tribes came and followed Jeroboam. Even in his imperfection, they were going to follow him. Why? Because he had the temple of the living God, and he had the only true worship that could be taking place in Israel. And they said, we cannot follow the other tribes because Jeroboam had set up his idols in the north and in the south. He made his own priests, and the children of Israel, the 10 tribes, were willing to follow him. Now, let me tell you why it happened. So often, you have kings that personally were inclined to follow the Lord, and the people followed them as long as they were inclined. But as soon as they died, and if their son arose and wanted to follow Baal, it said the people were delighted to follow Baal. Understand this, that whenever a judgment falls, it does not fall upon those who do not want to sin, but God simply brings out into the open those who were inclined to sin all along. And these 10 tribes were so glad to get away and follow their idols and not have to go all the way to Jerusalem 3 times a year to worship God. God said, we will see what they are. But I tell you, it was not inevitable for this reason. It said Benjamin did not do it, and the Levites did not do it, and the priests did not do it, and the others that wanted to sacrifice to the Lord their God. We are living in Jerusalem and in Judah. Why? Because this is the will of God. Now, here's the parture. It is inevitable, but the ones who depart are those who are inclined to depart. And God, in His grace, will allow any tribe that wants to go to the center of worship, because God placed His name there. It was God's will. God says, you may go. And the Levites, you may go. And anyone out of any tribe could go to Jerusalem because they wanted to sacrifice to their God. Now, this is what I'm thinking about us today. There are some new ways that are brought in. Things that are not in harmony with the Word of God as we have known it, and as it can be set forth and defended as it should be. And many people are following after those ways. Why? Because you will discover that after 20, 30, 40 years, some of them never had it in their hearts to be faithful gathering for the name of the Lord. This is what I've seen. I've been to assemblies, and in the past, all the sisters were covered. But in this new assembly, the elders said, it is not of any importance here for you to be covered. You may or you may not. And the women, their hat comes off, their covering comes off immediately. Why? Because they were inclined to do it in the past. And this is what God does. In times of departure, He lets those depart who have a heart to depart. But thank God, in that meeting, I looked out and I saw this sister and that sister and that sister. The others who knew, but they had not been persuaded. Paul said, I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus Christ that that persuasion was not there. If you have not been persuaded about the gathering to the name of the Lord and the principles, the infallible principles set forth in His Word, then you will discover that when someone comes along like Jeroboam, then you will follow him, and you'll have no regret. But even though Rehoboam is an imperfect king, if he is in the center of worship, and at least there is a pattern there, you will find that as much as they can, they come and they gather around him. And that is what I'm thinking about the departure of the people of God today. As for those that are going away, I'm not concerned in the least about them. In Matthew chapter 15, the disciples came to the Savior and said, did you know that the Pharisees were offended because of what you said? The Savior said, let them alone. He said, they be blind guides of the blind, and they're both going to fall into the ditch. Every plant which my Father planted not shall be rooted up. And not only so, but in John chapter 6, when a multitude of disciples left the Lord, why? not because of error and false doctrine that our Savior was preaching, but because of the truth. Because of the truth, it says, upon this many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And the Savior turned to the 12 and he said, will you go away? And thank God, Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And if all of these new ways that they're bringing into the assemblies, if they were the things of Christ, if they were the words of eternal life, if they were the pattern of sound doctrine, if doing what they did, but contending for the faith once for all, delivered to the saints, I assure you, I would be with them. But I can say to Peter, Lord, go to whom? You have the way of eternal life. So understand, even though there was imperfection in Jerusalem and Judah, at least there was the possibility that some from their hearts would worship God. They had the altar. They had the priest that could go in and represent them before God. So in this time of departure, remember the answer of Peter. And another thing comes to mind. I will mention the decline in the messengers and the messages of God's people. That's why I read you from 1 Samuel 3 and 2 Chronicles 15, 5. It says the word of God was precious in those days. There was no widespread vision. And it says, for a long time, there had been no teaching priests in Israel. Here was Israel. No worship, nobody to teach them. There was confusion for the longest kind of time. You see, there is a decline. But I want you to understand, in times of decline like that, the words that Micah spoke. He looked at all of those who were quite prepared to give any message that came from their own hearts, their own invention. But this is what he said about them. He said, as for you prophets, as for you diviners, as for you seers, he said, the sun shall go down upon you. There shall be darkness. There shall be no revelation to you from God. He said, but as for me, he said, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and unto Israel his sin. It did not matter what all the others were doing. Micah said, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. And so it doesn't matter. There do not have to be a multitude. Yet God wants it that way. Our Savior says, pray that the Lord of the harvest send forth laborers into the harvest. And that is what I pray. But I tell you that unless men set their hearts, there will be a decline. The ministry, I wonder if it's of the same caliber today as it was that I knew even in my early days of being saved. I'm wondering if the messages, if the messengers are of the same quality. Well, there may not be as many, but there can be those who say with Micah, as for me. And I think of Samson. There is so much powerlessness today. Whereas the Savior said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And Samson was approached by his own people, and they said to him, do you not know that the Philistines are rulers over us? Saying that to Samson, they said, now we're going to bind you and turn you over to the Philistines. And so they bound him. And the Spirit of God came upon him, and he broke those ropes in two, and he picked up the jawbone of an ass and killed and kicked and tied 1,000 of them. You are telling me that the Philistines are rulers over me. They are not rulers over me. They may be rulers over you. And understand, today, in decline and departure, you do not have to be without a word from God, and you do not have to be without power, and you do not have to let the Philistines be your master, because it says in Romans, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Sin shall not have dominion over us, for we are not under the law, but under grace. And at the passing of time, inevitably, these things happen. Disease and departure and decline, unless hearts are set. But remember, Ezra had set his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment. And this is what Paul is exhorting to Peter. He says, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Fan is a flame the gift that is in thee. and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou prohibit. That is what God is expecting of us today. A few? Well, let us, with the strength that God supplies, serve Him wholeheartedly, and let us day by day set our hearts to seek the Lord. Let us be Ezra, let us be Timothy, and let us not be those upon whom the sun goes down and there is no message from God. That's enough. That is great. My Father, we thank you that all of these deteriorations of which we read, they are not inevitable. If we do not set our hearts, they are. But if we do set our hearts, we are so thankful that there is an Ezra, that there is a Micah, and there is a Paul. We are thankful that in Paul's old age, he could say, I fought the good fight, I finished my course, I have kept the faith, henceforth it is laid up for me. We are so thankful, our Father, that there are those who endure with strength and devotion to the end, and we pray that we should be among them. We see decline setting in, our God, but let it not be a part of us. But let us take to heart the exhortation, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And so, Father, by thy grace, strengthen our hearts, and let us set our hearts to do thy will till he comes. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.